Hello and welcome. This is Matt McCall here with Moneyline. Thanks for joining me this week. We got a big show ahead of you. It was a big week in the market. It was a big week here for us at the company. We have a lot to talk about. Three topics today. Is Tesla dead? Should you be buying Tesla stock or selling it? We'll talk about that coming up. Also, IPOs, healthcare IPOs are rocking the market right now. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of investment opportunities there. And of course, the big news, the Fed cut interest rates. I'll give you my view on that and where the market's going ahead.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
Let's jump into topic number one. This is a back and forth. It's been like this for many years. It's all about Tesla stock. They reported earnings last week where they lost $408 million. Well, you might say, Matt, that's not a big deal. You know, Elon Musk knows what he's doing. The big picture here is the fact that he's creating really the first fully autonomous vehicle ever in the world. The first mass-produced, let's say, not the first ever, first mass-produced. The technology he has is mind-blowing, and I agree with all of that. The problem is, if you're losing over $400 million a quarter, you need to have a lot of cash. So you need to keep raising money, diluting shares. And don't get me wrong, listen, Elon Musk to me is one of the greatest people ever to walk this earth. I don't mean great as in like Mother Teresa great. I mean great as far as wanting to change the world that we live in and being pretty damn successful at it. So for me, Elon Musk is my man crush. I'd love to sit down. You know, a lot of people pay or are offered to pay millions of dollars every year to sit down with Warren Buffett for lunch. They have this drawing. And the winner gets to sit down with Warren Buffett. And of course, the money goes to charity. It's a great thing. I would much rather sit down with Elon Musk and pick his head. I sit down with Warren Buffett. He's going to tell me to go buy Coca-Cola or something like that. You know, I'm going to fall asleep halfway through. And at his age, he may fall asleep halfway through lunch as well. Nothing against, you know, Buffett right now. But not the most exciting guy in the world. Elon Musk is. So I believe in him. You know, I'll get to the point. I think Tesla stock is a buy. And I think on this fall that it had after earnings, it's even better buy. But let me break down what's going on. In this quarter, there was a record number of deliveries. Over 95,000 vehicles were delivered. That's up over 50%, not from last year, but just the last quarter. That's amazing growth numbers. You can't find that many small cap and micro caps. The average selling price for the Tesla for the all mankind, the Model 3, that came in a selling price of $50,000, well above what they thought it was going to be at $35,000. It's the everyman car. So now they have the Model S, the Model X, and now the Model 3. They're coming out now with the SUV, which you know, I may be interested in if I ever buy a car again. You know, as many of you know, I haven't had a car in over a decade. I technically don't tell anybody this, but I don't even have a real driver's license right now. So if you see me driving, look the other way. It's not my car, so don't worry about it. And it's not stolen either, so don't worry about that. But back to Tesla. They are losing so much money right now and at the same time recording record deliveries. So how does that two go hand in hand? It means expenses are going up. It's costing more to get those cars out the door. At some point in the very near future, Elon Musk and Tesla need to figure out how to make the cars a little bit quicker, a little bit cheaper. Or there's just two other options for Elon Musk here. If that doesn't work out, and I think it will. One, you know this, that Tesla has all this data. People who drive Tesla, it all comes together and gets shot back to guess who? Tesla. It's almost like Google, who every time you're on there doing a search, Google's taking your information, putting it in AI and creating these searches. So the moment you put one letter in, it fills in a search for you, as freaky as can be. Well, Tesla's taking all this information. They now have more information about autonomous driving vehicles than anybody else. And they're going to use it to become the leader. So that's a bigger picture one. That's another choice. And then there's energy storage. Remember Puerto Rico got destroyed by the hurricane? I was down there a few weeks ago talking to people at the resort that live there. Some people over a year to get electricity back. I mean, it's one of the most sad things I've ever seen. It's absolutely horrific. But if we had an energy storage off-grid type setup that Tesla can do, that never would have happened. The hurricane would have came, of course, but without power for that long, never would have happened. So to me, this pullback in Tesla falling down below $230 a share, I mean, and keep in mind where Tesla was not too long ago. You know, just last year, Tesla was trying to break through that $400 level. This stock's on sale. Could it hit 200 before it goes to 400 or 600? Yes. But if you believe in Elon Musk, you believe in the future of energy storage, Tesla's a buy down here. long-term buy for me. Topic number two. It doesn't sound so exciting when I say it to myself right now in my head, healthcare IPOs. But I will tell you this, IPOs have been hot. I mean, these stocks are killing it. Some of these software IPOs in the last 18 months are up 5-6-fold. So much so that myself and my research team right now have been working on a new product that we're going to roll out, a new newsletter focused on IPOs and maybe even pre-IPOs. We're working on a couple of different things. But what I've noticed, because I look every day at the new IPOs coming out and look at the performance, we did a scan last week that over 720 IPOs came out in the last year. And you say, that's impossible. That's not true. Well, we're including the over-the-counter markets there as well. But even with the NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange, there's still several hundred IPOs. You've probably heard of 10 of them. Uber, Lyft, obviously Beyond Meat's going bananas, earnings this week. Stock is parabolic, going straight up. But a few in the last couple of weeks that caught my eye, but you probably never heard of, I want to talk about, and we're going to be doing a research report for this on subscribers coming up. This is how much I love this topic, is healthcare tech IPOs. For the first time in 3 years, there's been a drought for digital health companies going public. The big one that came out last week is called Livongo, symbol LVGO. About $28 a share is where it came out. They sold over 12.5 million shares. They raised about $355 million. So Livongo doesn't sound like much. It sounds kind of boring. What the heck does it even do? Well, it takes technology and uses it to take care of patients. Its main treatment right now is with diabetes. It's basically marrying healthcare technology / AI, artificial intelligence, with healthcare in the future of medicine. It's absolutely fascinating, this company. It's only been trading for about a week now. It's at about $40 a share, so it's well above its IPO price of $28. And just so you know, my IPO strategy is never buy right away. Let them trade for a few weeks, if not a few months. Pick our point, because a lot of times, even if they run up early, they pull back and give us a great opportunity. But this is one you want to keep an eye on. It's got about $2.5 billion valuation. Another one's Health Catalyst, HCAT. This came out at about $26 a share, rallied up to $40 in the first day, now in the high 30s. Another one, raised about $182 million, $1 billion valuation, healthcare software. A third one, Castle Biosciences. I mean, these companies you've never heard of, CSTL. This is actually even a little bit smaller, a market cap of less than $400 million. But again, this stock, when it went public last week, the low of that day was 17. By Friday, the stock was close to $25. This has genetic tests for diagnosing skin cancer. And if you know anything about me and a subscriber, our genetic testing stocks have been killing it. We have three in the portfolio. One's up 60%, another's up 60%, and the third one actually got bought on Monday. So that did well as well. The gains weren't as big, but it is getting bought, which is good. It's going to be bought out. We're going to take a gain. We have two other 60% gainers. This company is fascinating to me because genetic tests will lead to the future of healthcare. Without it, it's impossible. Two others real quick. Phreesia, symbol PHR. Software as a service connects patients to healthcare providers and payment solutions, about $1 billion valuation, already doing sales of over $124 million predicted this year. This is another company, healthcare technology. And last one, Change Healthcare, symbol CHNG. This was formed between a Nashville-based company called Change Healthcare and a segment of McKesson, which is a big billion-dollar company, their technology solutions. It's a bigger company, several billion dollars. I don't really like the looks of this one, but I will say those first four I mentioned, put those on your watch list. I'm not saying we're not going to buy them because we're not. Put those on your watch list because when you're marrying healthcare with technology, an area that is so behind when it comes to technology, this is the future. Telemedicine, personalized medicine, precision medicine. We just talked about this in a big webinar we did on Wednesday. This is one of my biggest themes out there. Keep an eye on this. And again, IPOs, I know you're excited about it. We have a new service coming out soon. Last but not least, topic number three, probably the biggest one this week, interest rate cuts. The Fed cut interest rates on Wednesday by 25 basis points. It's first time it cut rates in 10 years. It's kind of fascinating because when I read that it's been 10 years, it doesn't feel like it because, boy, 10 years goes fast. But a few things I want to touch on here. Number one, interest rates already priced this in. Interest rates are down from the 10-year, this is 3.24% in November, and they fell below 2% actually last month, and they're hanging around 2.1% here throughout most of the week. So we're historically low interest rates already. The Fed really, they boxed themselves in a corner, and they kind of had to do this. But to me, the bigger picture is this. Okay, they cut rates, but let's look at everything else that's going on right now. They cut interest rates by 25 basis points. We have a GDP that came in last quarter, 2.1% growth. Not fantastic, but good enough and better than expectations. We have an unemployment rate that's at 3.7%, one of the lowest in years. We're also expecting a big gain here on Friday of 170,000 jobs. So you're seeing really a Goldilocks scenario where things are great, rates are going lower, there's no inflation right now. So why the heck would stocks not go up? Well, that's why I think they're going to go up. So about a week and a half ago, I think this is a fascinating story. I sent over a chart to our CEO, and this chart showed from 1980 through today that the S&P, when it's trading within 2% of an all-time high, which it is, and the Fed cuts interest rates, how the market reacts. Well, in the 17 times between 1980 and today that this has occurred, every time, 1 year later, the stock market was higher. Every single time. You're batting 1,000 is what they call it in baseball. And this is even more important. The average gain in that 1 year after that is 15%. That's nearly double the average 12-month gain rolling for the S&P 500 basically since history, since it began. So 15% average one-year gain. That puts the stock market, if from where it is right now, the S&P, that puts us up around 3,400, 3,500 on the S&P, well above where we are now, obviously 15% above where we are now. The other chart was looking at the market returns, again, 1 year out, when the Fed cut rates during expansionary periods. By expansionary periods, what I mean is it's when the GDP is growing, which I just mentioned is at 2.1% right now. So if you look back since 1971, every time the Fed has cut rates during an expansionary period, 1 year later, the stock market was higher. And the average gain over the next 12 months is 16.4%. Again, about double what the market does in a normal 12-month period, rolling back over the last 70 or 80 years. So we're setting ourselves up based on two very important numbers for a return to the market that averages twice what it normally does. So to me, why the heck would he not be in the market? Well, as I mentioned, I sent that first chart to the CEO. The next day, we were standing in line getting soup. I know it's 95 degrees, but it's cold in the office. Getting soup, which is the weirdest thing in the world. He turns to me and goes, hey, I got to show you something. And he shows me a large amount of money on his phone, over $350,000. He moved into the market. He moved over $350,000 into the market. And I laughed, and he goes, no, I'm serious. And he goes, you know why I did that? I go, no. He goes, because I woke up, and he wakes up like 4 a.m. And I saw that chart you sent me in the middle of the night, which I sent because I couldn't sleep, but he gets up early. And he went into the office next morning and bought over $350,000 worth of stock because of that one chart. He didn't even know the second chart yet. But, and this is a smart guy. He's been investing in stocks for over 20 years. My point I'm getting at here is, you put together a lot of smart people in a room. You show them these two charts. You talk about where we are right now in the market. And there's no reason you should not be buying stocks today. If you ever say to yourself, I want to be in the stock market, but you're not in today, then this isn't cut out for you. Because the reality is we are setting up for what could be a potentially a huge rally the next 12 to 18 months into the election. Because I'm going to throw in a little bit of a wild card here. I'm not going to rant for a second. Donald Trump, whether you love him, hate him. I mean, I live in Baltimore now, and last week he completely destroyed the city. Rat-infested cesspool or something he called it. You know, don't quote me there, but I know there's rats involved there somewhere. And don't get me wrong, there's some bad areas of Baltimore, but I love it. This is my new home. So I was a little irritated with that. But I will say, whether you love Trump, hate Trump, or just kind of just do your own thing like I do, he has one thing in mind. He likes to make himself look good. And one way that he likes to do that and way he grades himself is by the performance of the stock market. And he says it out loud. You know it. He tweets about it. And anytime that we have a good stock market hitting highs, don't get me wrong, he goes on air and he talks about it. That's how he grades himself. So going into one of the probably dirtiest and craziest elections we'll ever see, unfortunately, he's going to use the fact that he can do things with the economy to make this stock market be as good as can be. I mean, really continue to hit highs. Whether it be force the Fed, which we can't legally do, but put some pressure on the Fed to lower rates, whether it be some types of tax stimulus, I don't know what he's going to do, whether it be a trade deal with China right before to send the market higher, something will happen or some things will happen that the stock market will go up. And what I don't want to see you do is if you don't like Trump, which is half of America, say, I'm not going to be in the stock market because I'm not supporting it. I don't want him to do well and be elected, so I don't want the stock market to go up. If that's your view, you're honestly just an idiot. Because when Obama got elected, I was on Fox News, and there was a lot of people I worked with that said, nope, I'm getting out of the market. Obama's going to destroy it. Well, during the 8 years Obama was in office, we had a pretty darn good stock market. So you could sit here and say, well, I didn't support Obama. Yeah, well, your 401k is a lot less than it should be. So don't let your political view ever get involved when it comes to making a decision on the stock market. Unless you truly believe somebody coming into office will destroy our economy and destroy the stock market, then fine. Again, if you don't agree with Trump, if you do agree with Trump, the bottom line is he will prop up this stock market, whether you want him to or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you think it's the right thing to do or not, it's irrelevant. Get your ego out of the way and follow just a simple path to prosperity. Because by investing in a market behind somebody that will make it go higher, you have a clear path to making money. So don't ignore it. So that's my little rant here for today. But again, let's just recap what we went over. Number one, Tesla, is it dead? No. Invest in Elon Musk. Invest in the future of vehicles. Invest in the future of energy storage. They will make it through. Two is IPOs. I got to tell you, I'm loving what I'm seeing with these IPOs, especially small ones that are flying under the radar. Even more excited the fact that we have some healthcare tech IPOs for the first time in 3 years, and several of them all catching my eye. I'm going to do some deep research on that, and that will be available to our subscribers. And then last but not least, why I'm buying stocks right now. Why my CEO moved over $350,000 into stocks when I sent him one chart. And of course, the Fed cutting interest rates, setting us up for an even better rally. And of course, a wrap up of the rant. Love Trump, hate Trump, indifferent with Trump. He's going to make the stock market move higher one way or another. So get on the train and let's profit from it. All right, again, thanks for listening. If you have any questions, feel free. You can shoot it to us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Matthew McCall, M-A-T-T-H-E-W. And of course, McCall is M-C-C-A-L-L. Just go right at it. Follow us anyway and get some updates when the podcasts come out. And again, just shoot the questions there. We'll go through those and we'll go over some questions we get next week. Again, thanks for listening. This is one of our first shows. We're happy. Any feedback, good, bad questions, we'd love to have it. And again, McCallMoneyWire.com. That is our free site with all of our reports. We have white papers on some of the favorite technologies. We have articles on there. Of course, information about our paid services. Our paid services, as you know, we have investment opportunities. We have early stage investor where we actually give you the buy, sell recommendations of our favorite companies, all these topics we talk about. But stay tuned, because for all the subscribers, VIP content we have coming up right now after a short break, we're going to jump into one of the stocks that was moving last week that I've been talking about for a while in the cannabis area and do a bit of a deeper dive into some of the sectors I talked about on a big webinar we had last Friday. For those of you leaving me now, have a great week. Once again, this is Matt McCall with Moneyline. VIP section coming up.
Thanks for listening to Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.